Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. It may be just a small flap of relatively lifeless skin, but the question of whether or not to remove it has long been the source of heated debate. Of course, we're talking about circumcision and the reaction to new draft recommendations from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The CDC is not actually telling parents to circumcise their baby boys, but it is saying that the health benefits of circumcision outweigh the risks, and that doctors should discuss those benefits with parents. But circumcision opponents say the guidelines will only encourage a practice that they call outdated, unnecessary, and barbaric. Kerry Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health Blog, has been following the latest firestorm over whether to cut or not to cut, and she's with us now. Welcome, Kerry.
Thanks, Anthony.
So before we talk about the potential medical benefits of circumcision, give us a sense of this debate and the response you've been following on Common Health.
Well, the debate, as you said, is very heated, and it has been for a long time. And the response we've gotten on Common Health to a post that we did on these new recommendations was predictably very argumentative. There were dozens of comments, mostly against circumcision. But to simplify it very violently, because there are a lot of gray areas here, I'd say that the basic debate is between the medical authorities who do say that all of this, or that the scientific literature does show that the benefits, the health benefits, outweigh the risks. And then on the other side is what I've seen referred to as intactivists, because they're activists in favor of keeping it intact, who argue that this is genital mutilation, that babies can't give consent, and that it's just wrong. So that's the debate we're looking at.
Now if I understand this correctly, the American Academy of Pediatrics released recommendations along these lines in 2012. So what's new about the CDC draft, and we have to stress, draft recommendations?
Right. So first of all, it's now the second major national organization to say that the health benefits do outweigh the risks. And one interesting aspect of what it says is that addressing the issue of whether a baby can give consent to something like this, it suggests that uncircumcised adolescent boys might want to discuss the risks and benefits with their doctors. So they're older, they're not babies.
All right. So. Well, let's bring Dr. Marvin Wang into this conversation. He's a circumcision expert, co-director of the Newborn Nurseries at Massachusetts General Hospital. He's performed thousands of circumcisions. And welcome, Dr. Wang. Good to have you.
Thanks for having me back.
So the CDC is telling doctors to explain the health benefits of circumcisions to parents. What are the health benefits?
Well, benefits is probably the crux of the whole argument between the various different factions who want to know what to do about circumcision for their newborn boys. The problem with asking about benefits is you have to look at it qualitatively and quantitatively, because qualitatively, the presumed benefits are a prevention of urinary tract infections, prevention of penile cancer later in life, and prevention of sexually transmitted diseases. But quantitatively, and this is where the stickiness gets into place, is that for things like urinary tract infection and penile cancer, the risk is really, really very slight. Mm-hmm. I guess the real game changer here is that the one benefit that everybody keeps talking about is the prevention of HIV among adult men in sub-Saharan Africa or third world country settings. There we do see at least a 50% reduction in the potential for heterosexual men to contract HIV.
Now explain that. How does circumcision help protect males from the risk of HIV?
Theoretically, the space underneath the skin that does get cut ends up being sort of the perfect medium, that warm and moist medium with lots of immune tissues and immune cells that can get easily attacked and sort of lived in by the various pathogenic viruses and bacteria.
Right. So the guidelines, as Carrie mentioned, urges physicians to talk to uncircumcised adolescents about the health benefits of circumcision. I'm curious to ask you, how realistic is that? And how do we know how usual that is? That is, how many adolescent boys actually opt for circumcision?
You are not going to know that answer very soon. By mentioning that in the CDC guidelines, they've kind of opened a Pandora's box, but in a good way to open the debate, to allow adolescents to ask those questions. It actually does make more sense to bring adolescents into this argument, because the idea that HIV prevention studies are showing that this is mostly for adult men in third world countries, That argument is a little bit more abstract when you take it towards newborns in developed countries. So asking adolescents who are more at risk for at-risk behavior, it does make more sense to bring them into the picture.
Sure. I want to also ask you about the point, one point that Carrie alluded to, and this idea that people who are opposed to circumcision say one of the biggest problems with it is that a newborn baby can't give consent.
Right.
What's your response to that?
It's absolutely true. A newborn cannot provide consent. Therefore, you are depending upon providing care based on the caregiver, in this case, typically the parent.
Hmm. And actually, I would chime in as a mother and say, I have done a zillion things for my kids without their consent because I believed it was for their good, for their best
and,
interest.
Also, going back to the idea of the adolescent then, this argument of bringing the adolescent into the discussion is much more tangible in that an adolescent can consent for mm-hmm. himself in this picture. Now, granted, that there are some problems with that as well, because you're also talking about lots of kids who are still adolescents, but also minors. In Massachusetts, I believe the age of being a minor is still 18 and under. So if there is a differing in the opinion between the child and the adult, you do still run into some ethical,
sure.
legal, and moral questions about whether to do a procedure or not.
Final question here, and that is, for a while, it seemed as though the pendulum was swinging away from circumcision. Does it look to you, Dr. Wang, like circumcision is, I don't know, coming back in more into favor?
The only reason it would come back or start increasing its rate within the country would probably be because of these new guidelines from the American Academy of Pediatrics and from the CDC.
Hmm. All right. Well, that's Dr. Marvin Wang. He's co-director of the Newborn Nurseries at Massachusetts General Hospital. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog. Thank you, as always, Carrie.
You're welcome.
And listeners, you can find a link to the Common Health post and the latest on this debate. You can go to our website, radioboston.org, and leave a comment there. Stay with us. Coming up, Dar Williams, back home, back in New England, back in our studios. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.